Lords, hope we fight in the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Both seats are the same thing. The little one from the big one over there.
The highest.
The biggest.
Okay, roll call, please.
Aaron Armstrong.
Here.
Frank Kay.
Here.
Leonard King.
Here.
Stan Kroenke.
Here.
Richard Levine.
Here.
Ed Marin.
Here.
Carol Ray.
Here.
Pauline Stone.
Here.
Steve Trombley. Brett Mahler.
We do have a quorum, so let's move forward. Under C, approve the agenda. Resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education approve the agenda.
Motion.
Okay, I do want to point out that at the end of the meeting, we will be having an executive session.
Mr. President?
Yes.
I believe you need to make a change, if it hasn't been brought to your attention, on page 6, on the account code that reads A2240.470. That needs to be changed to A2250. All of those need to be changed to A2250.
Under E?
Under C, or E, excuse me.
Yes, E.
Bear with me, I don't have my glasses with me.
I'll amend my motion to accept the amended minutes.
With the added executive session
and
for
second
personnel.
Right.
Is that going to be what? Between 11 and 12? Like 11A?
Yes, it would be 11A.
Yes, for personnel?
Personnel, yes. And I'll actually, employment history of a particular person or persons is the actual piece I have to use. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Abstained? No. Motion carries. Under 2, public comment. I'll open the floor for 5 minutes for public comment. Thank you very much. And we'll now move to 3, presentations. And A, we have a presentation this evening from the students, and I'll turn that over to Mr. Engel.
Well, very briefly, I will pass the baton on to Ms. Kuhnhardt as well, but we have students, as indicated on the agenda, who are here this evening to share some of their poetry submissions on a project that they have been working with for quite some time and are very proud of the products that they have produced. And we're very pleased that they're willing to be with us this evening to share that information with the board. Also, from the board's point of view, it's an opportunity that we try to take advantage of to bring to your attention individual projects and works by our students from time to time. And tonight is a time for us to be proudly able to do so. So, Ms. Kuhnrod, have I said too little or too much?
No, I think we'll relocate and speak.
We've come on the other side. Thank you.
We would like to thank the board and everybody involved with inviting us here, and the parents for bringing the students here to show their projects. Without them, we would not have any projects, so thank you. The project that we did was a poetry project where students had picked out a poem online, and they had to cite the poem, so they were using some of their library skills. And we went to the computer lab, and they created a story project where the poem they read the poem, and in the background, pictures came up that represented the theme and the main ideas of the poem. It was a wonderful experience. It was our first year doing it, and we were very, very pleased. The students were able to use many of their skills, they were able to use their reading fluency skills, and in their reading class, they also practiced reading the poems to help their fluency. They used their library skills, their computer skills, and obviously their ELA skills. It was very successful, and we have three students, Nelson Furrier, Jack Hurwitz, and Madison DeFluente, and they will just speak. Oh, and Kennedy Dunn. Come on, Kennedy.
Come in.
You can come right in. We have four students. Thank you very much. And they will present before their presentation shows, and then we'll just go through. I included some extras that were also very nice.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Allison Currier, and my poem is called I Dream the Dream by Derek Lancaster. And I like this poetry project because it was from the beginning of the time when I was talking about it. And that we had to pick up our own pictures on it. And I thought it was very fun. The poetry project took about 2 to 3 days, and I enjoyed it a lot. I dreamed a dream in bed last night of places most bizarre, of ponds of liquid lemon pie and ducks that played guitar, of perfect pictured puzzle paths and grass of jelly beans, of crumpet homes and candy gnomes, such things I've never seen, of glinting misty marble stars and clouds of thicky glare, of crayon boats and biscuit goats, a weird and strange affair. I flew past trees of centipedes and over fondant hills, past eight-legged cats and purple rats, a world so full of thrills. I dive beneath a soapy lake through plastic kelp and reef. I swam with rainbow octopus past shores of clotted cream. And down below the treacle waves, I spied a feather bee. But with a start, I woke up to find my pillow was eating me. Or because he wanted it to be a fun poem for all people of all ages to read. There are a couple of poetic devices that I saw. The first one was an alliteration, perfect picture puzzled paths. There was also a rhyme, crumpet homes and candy homes. And then the last is a personification, my pillow is eating me. And that's the end of my poem project by Allison Furrier.
I dreamed a dream by Gareth. Chemistry class read by Gareth Lancaster, read by Jeff Hurwitz. Chemistry class, the class in which I do surpass. The class I really most enjoy, my teacher though, I do annoy. Mixing that, swirling this, adding till I hear a hiss. Prompting looks up from her desk towards my beaker statuesque. Heating up, cooling down, my teacher watches face a friend. Lovely liquid yellow bubbles, teacher's ready for the troubles.
Exploding here, exploding there, yellow globs of teacher's hair. It's dripping onto teacher's shawl and creeping down the classroom wall. Fizzle here, fizzle through, oh no, I think I'm in a stew. It's eaten through the wooden floor and dropped below on Mr. Moore. Chemistry miss, much distress, my girl today did not impress. Chemistry is my favorite class, but that's my last, I think, alas. I like this poem because it is funny when the main character messes up his concoctions. The main idea of this poem is the main character is in a chemistry class and he is messing up everything he does by mixing the wrong chemicals for fun. Lunch by Jess Alderman.
Next is Madison Dacuente.
Hi, I'm Madison Dacuente. Our class was assigned to record our voices while reading a poem that we chose and add pictures to go with our poem. The poem I chose to read was Orange by Jeff Aubrey. I enjoyed this poem because the author was having a hard time finding words to rhyme while sounding elegant.
Madison Dacuente. Now see the beautiful sunset or the ocean blue. Fiery colors do abound of poems, there are few. I wish that I could write one about that perfect hue. But nothing rhymes with orange. Orchards stretch for miles, they never seem to stop. Their nectar-bearing fruit is one that's hard to top. A fruit that justifies the sonnet, but might as well be a rock. But nothing rhymes with orange. How do I describe a basketball? Or the bricks within my garden wall. The autumn leaves before they fall. But nothing rhymes with orange. So the hardest line you'll ever write, one to keep you up all night. So please tell me if you might. What the heck rhymes with orange? The main idea of this poem is that it is quite hard to find a word that rhymes with orange. I liked the poem because the author is struggling with finding a rhyming word to describe his poetry. That took my woolly hat and dripped into my willies. Whoosh, hee hee, I got him back. Whoops, but that one missed. Now we're coming back, thick and fast, snowy balls, big as fists. Must be time to call the truth before I'm sold right through. My brother's just too good at this, and my hands are turning blue. Snowball fights are just so fun, even though it's cold and wet. So just one more, and here it goes. Splat, I got him on his neck. Why do I like this poem? I like this poem because I like to have snowball fights, too. The main idea about this poem is that two kids are having fun while having a snowball fight. This poem has a lot of onomatopoeias. And that is the end of this poem. Played by Adrian Mitchell, read by Joseph Stevens. Dark brown eyes, scanning a dusty tarmac, boy on a snow. Head down, mouth humming, a boy swinging intensely. Before dusk, he must leave his grandmother's house on the edge of the city. All over the snake, thinking on his name, the boy. His mother will stay home. She won't go to the shelter. People here are afraid of shelters. They remember last time. The chains of the snake, they clink, they creak. The boy's head fills with exploit. I like the poem because there are kids that are very afraid of going anywhere they're at, and they just cannot erase their visions all day. The main idea is that this is what war can do to a kid's mind. Make them think all day and leave them traumatized.
Look Outside by Josie Gravel and read by Timmy McNeil. Look outside, see the trees, watch the flowers and the breeze. Things won't be like this in a year or two if polluting is all we do. Seize the night, seize the day, things won't always be this way. Thousands of people are dying each day, and the night hear the children crying. Let's stop the war, people are sore. The world can't help itself, who cares about wealth? Help me to help you. Show the world that we can do. The main idea of this poem is to tell you to stop polluting. I like this poem because it is about nature and how not to pollute. I think this is the right poem.
I Love Israel by Gareth Lannister, read by Don LaSalle. I love Israel, I asked my dad. He looked quite stunned and shocked. Because if they are, well, don't you think you'd see them in the shops? It's not like that, Dad said to me. They're just not put on sale. But why? I said, they should, you know, and maybe also whales. I don't understand, my dad confessed. Why you think this should be so? He scratched his head and then his chin. I don't get it. No. 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 Just think of it, I said to Dad. They'd be fun to have around. I could use one just to help me see the world from off the ground. That's true, Dad said, but you should know. The elephants don't like cities. Oh, I said, well, that's a shame. That really is a pity. So that's why we can't buy them, I said, in the shops around the town. But if we lived in the countryside, we'd see them all around. I like this poem because there's an awesome flow to it, and it's funny. I also love poems about animals. The main character doesn't understand why she can't buy an elephant in the shops. The tone of the poem is silly and confused. This poem has hyperbole, aspects, rhyme, and alliteration.
Snow Day, written by Sam D, read by Ariana Hicks. Snow is falling to the ground, piling up in enormous mounds. School is canceled for the day, children run outside to play. Snowballs are thrown in the air, no one has any care. About school, only fun because the day is a snowy one. Snowmen are stacked very high, their top hats almost scan the sky. To make them round, they must pat, they finish off with mittens and hat. As the weather gets cold, the children are told to come inside and eat with hot chocolate and a couple treats. Once the kids are done, they put on their gear for some more fun. Some of them play around while other kids just lay on the ground. Another kid makes snow angels until the dog named Bojangles ran through his masterpiece. The main idea for this poem is to entertain readers with a fun little story about what kids do when they have a snow day. I like this poem because this is what I would do when I had a snow day. This poem uses hyperbole and imagery. The poem shows by Ashley, read by Bailey LaDuke. When I look into your eyes, I see the pain you try to hide. You try to be tough, but the pain shows. The hurting and the suffering that this is causing you. The pain shows, although you act as if nothing's wrong. The pain shows you try to be brave. But the pain shows you try to hide the tears. But the pain shows when you're looking into your eyes will reveal so much pain. I like this poem because it has a nice flow and rhythm to it. The main idea is a person that sees pain in someone.
Tick Tock by Garrett Lancaster. Narrated by Alex Price. Tick Tock, tick tock. Goes the old grandfather clock.
Tick, tock, tick, tock.
It never, ever stops. Swing, 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 swing. I'm waiting for the clock to ding. Ding, dong, ding, dong. Now it plays its little song. Ding, dong, ding, dong. Every hour, all day long. I like this poem because it has a lot of repetition and it talks about clocks. I really don't know why, but I love to stare at clocks. The idea is to give readers a thrashing thrill of a non-stop, everyday, clicking clock. I really, really like this project because we got to do everything on our own. We even have a little help, but not really. It's very exciting.
Thank you very much for
watching. I'd just like to thank the students, Dave. I think, stand up, please, and turn around. Demonstrated eagle pride in overcoming their nervousness and presenting to the board and our guests. So I thank you very much.
Never show it. Thank you so much.
Thank you to Mrs. Rankin and Mrs. Hamilton for providing these wonderful educational opportunities for our students.
Thank you very much.
Mrs. Eggleton is going to share with you a little bit more details than I provided in your update on the driver's education curriculum. So, Donna, thank you.
It's really hard to follow that show. I promise I won't bore you too much. I came to the board, about a year and a half ago, and I asked you to approve a textbook for driver's ed before we wrote the curriculum. And the reason we discussed that was because, as you know, with the state, everything changes. And with the driving, the laws and the rules, they change as well.
And the book was, the textbook was from 2000. And so Mr. Fuller and I got together and we looked over the textbook, what he taught, what his assessments were. And I asked the board to approve us buying the book for him with the stipulation that we would present a curriculum after. This is very unusual. It probably will be one of the very, if not only time that I'll come to you like this, because it is so stringent. It's a half-year course, and so they have to get everything in. I'm hoping that later in the on the agenda, when it comes up for a vote, that you'll vote yes to approve it. Mr. Fuller would have liked to have been with us tonight. He, as the driver's ed teacher, is teaching the five-hour course as we speak. I've had a wonderful conversation with him. Does anybody have any questions? Again, thank you for approving the textbook purchase for us. We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And again, that's on the agenda later for approval.
Okay. We'll move next to reports and presentations, and I'll turn it back over to Mr. Ailey.
Back up again. You grab my stuff. A few things to talk about. Some with more questions than information, unfortunately. But the good news, several. First of all, Shy Dan Noonan, sitting over there by the pillar, I want to point out again to the board that Dan successfully passed his exam for the position of the The man may tell you he never sweated it for a minute, and he never shows if he's, but I'm telling you, it's like that duck above water. The feet are paddling like crazy, even though you don't see anything above the waterline. And we've joked about it a few times, but again, congratulations to Dan. And later in the agenda, there's a resolution, of course, to begin the probationary period that was not available to him until he could demonstrate having passed tests. So it's all connected, and congratulations to Dan. Also, in our midst, very near Star 1 is Star 2, Roxy Barnes. Roxy Barnes and several of her staff were written about in this very magazine that I have in my hand in front of me. It's called the New York State Nutrition Association, and the magazine is Focus on School Food Service. And why, pray tell, is she in here? There's an article on the new food service line and a few pictures to go along with the new food service line pieces and the people responsible for it. So, never wanting to miss a chance to brag about our people, Roxy Barnes is a published person now and is in the magazine. Excellent. And as we speak, one of our teachers, Mr. Ben Bright, is competing, believe this or not, for American Idol. He has gone through the preliminary processes of thousands of applications, leading down to hundreds of people being selected, leading down to a very select group, and he's in that group, and as we sit here tonight is, am I saying this correctly, Diane? He's either on a taped program or competing to be on a taped program.
I believe tonight they are showing the auditions from June. So tonight they're showing the auditions, but he actually has his golden ticket, although maybe they took it at the door because he's in California now at the next level.
The next level, correct. So the plan, as we'll like to refer to it, is he will be successful, convince the American Idol judges that he indeed should be in that group of five or six that makes the notoriety fame. We'll find out from him what's next in terms of when he's got to be back in California, but at that stage we'd be picking up what night are we going to go watching him perform on national television should that occur. So again, in his absentia, congratulations to Ben Bright for that as well. Now it goes downhill from there on news, but not in corresponding jumps, but you'll see in a moment. Not too distant from there is the fact that I did receive the first draft from Advisory Solutions on the building survey that they have been working on. I'm reading this because these are my words, but I'm reading the pieces that I wanted to make known to you. This portion of the report analyzes the building's present capacity to meet the present needs of our people in the building and our programs that are in the building. And it outlines the results of board policy, contract agreements relative to class sizes, the potential capacity of the buildings to address student needs that might occur in the future, and other variables. What isn't yet done, and I just got the draft, so I purposely didn't bring, well, it's right here, but you can see how thick it is. I haven't yet to read it to be able to talk more in detail. But I can tell you that what isn't in here yet is the results of the information on live births through projected to be occurring through 2019, as well as the kindergarten age children that will be entering our district for the next 5 years. The capacity part plus the enrollment projection part will be what comes together to be, so what do we do in terms of long-range planning for our students? And we've talked very briefly about the things that could be done. The committee, the study is not charged, was not given a charge to recommend any solution. They were given the charge to study and recommend possibilities, leaving it up entirely, of course, to the board and the community to determine if and which, if any, solution you would like to look at. So the first draft is here, and if you would like, I wanted to ask this first, if you would like, I can have copies of the draft as it appears to me and get that to you, either in the next packet or a little bit earlier. You can pour through it and look at it. It's loaded with charts and summarizations and perspectives, if you will. Very nice job so far, but when you get to the chapter that speaks to enrollment projections for 2010 through 2019, there is nothing there yet. And I just wanted to point that out to you before you got the information, but they are working on that. Related to that piece of the study, of course, will be questions. They will also address, well, in what feasible ways might you, the district, consider using the West Sheezy building, the MTL, former elementary building. Again, not to recommend, but they'll tell you what is logical to be able to be done and any costs associated with your desire to have it done to the building. So I didn't want you to think it was kind of on a shelf someplace. It just arrived, and there it is. Hot off the presses. I'll send the copies to you. Where it starts to get a little bit more less exciting. I spent the day in a conference in Albany yesterday, NISCA's conference, actually, which is open to superintendents from across the entire state, directors of curriculum, etc. And there are multiple topics that are covered when you go to a conference or a convention. I purposely went to those that spoke to capacity for the future in the sense of what will the future look like for our children, as a means of taking a look into that camera or look into that little peephole, if you will. What impact would that have on a Board of Education to start thinking about programming for kids for the future? And there's a lot of information to tell us that we live in a time now of preparing students for a world that won't be there when they finish with us. Now, that's a pretty daunting statement, but the point is, the encouragements have been from these multiple speakers that I listened to, that boards and school district personnel think longer range on the delivery system of information in schools. How you teach it becomes as critical a question as what you teach. And so that's a lot of what was covered in those workshops. I mentioned in my update earlier that I purchased a book for the board members. I had hoped that it would be here tonight. It wasn't here yet, but I will shoot it off to you as quick as I can because it's, in my opinion, it's an excellent compilation of these kinds of points with some real strong messages of did you know, and now that you do, what can we all do about this? So the book is coming. Now, the other part of my visit at the conference was to listen to around the state perceptions of doom and gloom relative to the budget. Because, as you can imagine, every school district in the state that was there, those who chose to speak on the subject spoke with the similar kinds of concerns. The uncertainty of the cloud over all of the districts. Ours is not any different. Depending upon which report you read and out of which part of the country you read it, our victory day would be that the budget, state aid, would be zero growth. That would be major victory, is the simplest way I can characterize it. Because there should be no illusions about the number will be zero at best and less at worst. I mean, that's clearly what all of Albany and all the school districts are being told. That's there's no certainty on how big a cut, quote unquote, there will be because it's the governor's proposed budget. he doesn't have to reveal that until we get the run on the 21st, I think it is. And we all know, we'll get a quick run from a number of our agencies that we work with. They'll do a quick calculation, shoot that off to the school districts via fax, and Ron and I, for the first time, will be staring at, well, if this was the budget, what is our share going to be? And if it's our share, is this number, does that represent plus, zero, or minus from our current operating budget? That, of course, becomes a linchpin of conversation as I continue to work with our administrators on developing a budget to bring forward to the board to consider. So there's our sequence of what's occurring. There's two documents. One document in particular I wanted to share with you. I will copy this as well. I do apologize, but I was afraid we could be all night just poring over this excellent presentation. This was a presentation put on by Bob Lowry, who is the Deputy Director of the New York State Council of School Superintendents. Basically, the New York State School Superintendents contribute to and help pay for this person's salary. He's an attorney by training, and his job is continuously advocating for superintendents and school districts around the state in terms of their needs and the public's needs. So he put together a fantastic slideshow, and I'm just pointing it out to you that he did a New York State, it reads, New York State Economic and Fiscal Outlook for Schools. He breaks down the entire state into regions, and in each of the issues where he provides data, he shows how it affects that region. So our region, of course, would be the North Country, which includes Clinton, Essex, Franklin, Hamilton, Jefferson, Lewis, and St. Lawrence County. If there's a statistic in here that speaks to something, it'll point to North Country, and it'll tell you what it means for all of those places. So it's an excellent presentation. And I won't read this to you. It'll take away your fun when you read it yourself. But they talk about where the enrollment declines are occurring in the state and where there's growth. And you can see negative charts and positive charts in that area. Very quickly, the North Country, of which we are a part of, is in a negative 1.3% growth of student population. Now, that's why we're doing the study, because we don't know if we are that place. We tend to think not because of where we're located as a school district and the fact that the quality of the programs we offer seems to keep our families choosing to be a part of this community when they perhaps have otherwise other choices to make. But the region itself is showing a negative 1.3. Long Island is showing a zero loss. So you can see what's happening. It's and that one slide alone, the Long Island school district area is holding its own on student populations, and everybody else, with the exception of the lower Hudson Valley, is showing a decline. That's everybody else. All those regions are showing fewer and fewer students coming to school from the previous years. So that's the kind of stuff he is measuring. There's some really powerful slides that affect or will affect our conversations as we develop a budget. I will share that with you in a hard copy as well. And it's a real nice compilation. The one I want to point out, which I think it's a significant one as we tell our story to our voters whenever we're ready to do so. There's a slide that speaks to the average tax increases in 7 years despite the amount of state aid that was provided in that same period of time. So basically it's saying, let's take all those localities and say how much of a tax increase occurred in those localities over 7 years, and at the same time measure what the state's contribution to help and with that issue has been like. And very quickly, you can't see it from where you're seated, but you can get the idea of the graph. There was a period of time when they were both going in the direction that they should have gone. And now this past year, 2009-10, the percent change in state aid has dropped significantly. In other words, the state's contribution for public schools has dropped significantly in 1 year, 9-10, not to look at the one we're about to come to. At the same time, the percent change in the property tax at the locality has dropped as well. So what it's saying is school districts have done, this is my editorial, school districts have done a very good jobs at keeping the tax rate growth on a downward trend, despite the fact the state is also decreasing its contributions for education in the form of state education and state money. So, what does that mean for this year? I close where I opened. We don't know. It's going to be what the governor proposes. He's have a magic number. We do know, as Mr. Lowry pointed out in great detail with one of the slides, I hope I can find it quickly, that, I can't, but we do know that the billions projected, oh, it would be looking ahead, that's where I need to go. Looking ahead, 2010, 2011, in 2009, 2010, the projected deficit for the states is $3.2 billion. Nothing changes. 2010, 11, $6.8 billion. If nothing changes, 2011, 12, $14.8 billion. And if nothing changes, nothing meaning all those variables, the 2012, 2013 projected state aid levels decrease will be $19.5 billion. Across the state. So what has to happen is the obvious question. You've got to get new revenue coming into New York State, which obviously affects localities. Got to look at things that we are obligated to do because of state mandates and other conditions for which if we had a choice, we'd probably choose not to do them and try to save our very scarce resources. All of those things are going to happen for each successive year over the next two to three year period of time as a forecast of less state aid, despite efforts to contain costs. Taxpayers in various localities, we don't know how it affects us yet, but of all those regions, some people, some districts will not be able to meet the bill. Just cutting as tight as they are, without doing other drastic things. There are states, there's school districts that are doing that right this year around the state. I've talked to many people, small, medium, and large size districts, and there are districts that have already done as much as they could for this year's budget, and they're hearing no promise for a change for the next year either. And they've already done all they think they can do without directly affecting programming for kids. I say that as a general statement with our public as present to know that we are certainly, we're not there yet, and we will definitely take all of that information into our council when we develop a budget. We don't want to be asking for more than we can afford. We don't, and the principals and supervisors have already heard this, and they're working very diligently on making their concerted efforts to not ask for that which we can't live without. But having said that, when we present the budget, I might somehow this year slide a few of these slides into it for the general public to understand. Yeah, that particularly that curve with that state aid has gone down, so has our request for increases in taxes also gone down, and here's our program anyway. You know, I think that would probably be a significant slide to come back and visit. So that's that piece. And that's enough. Thank you.
Ron, you have any reports?
I do. It's actually a perfect segue from the superintendent's report about the current state fiscal situation. And in the December meeting, I brought to you the unfortunate news that the governor had decided to withhold some state aid payments from school districts as well as short state aid payments for the school district. I'm happy to report, however, that since that meeting, he's actually released the state aid payments. And on the 15th of December, we received our December state aid payment. However, it was 10% short, as he had promised. That affected Beekman Town to the tune of just over $108,000, which wasn't too terribly bad. On December 30th, the state released and approved our Title I grant funding. These were grants that began September 1st, for which we had expenditures and payroll-related items because we had those programs begun on September 1. However, they hadn't been approved yet. The status hadn't been approved yet, and they hadn't been funded yet. So on the 30th of December, those funds were released and the grants were approved. So that was to the tune of $156,000 and change, which represented about 20% of those title grants. That was the funding that we had gotten. 20% was the first payment. Moving forward, on the 4th of January, the governor finally released our STAR payment, which he had delayed for 3 months. That payment came, and it was shorted 19%, so we received 81% of the payment. Our STAR bill was just over $2.1 million. We received just over $1.7 million, so we still have about $400,000 outstanding. So to date, our state aid, including STAR payment that the governor has withheld from the school district, is just over $500,000. And then today, I'm happy to report that we received our first ARRA deposit, and this is the General Fund Economic Stabilization money, the stimulus money, which we had received. And that was funds that we had begun to expend July 1 moving forward that we had to send a report in to claim the funds to reimburse us for our expenditures. I did that as of November 30th, and then we received about $140,000 for those funds. So that's some good news, at least for the picture for today. We've received 90% of our state aid for the December payment and 81% of our STAR payment, and then we've also received our first down payment for the economic stimulus money.
I have one question. That $500,000 that the governor has withheld, is that a permanent withhold, or are we going to get it eventually?
Well, from what I've read in the paper and what I've heard from the governor himself, he is promising to pay that back to the school districts, and that might have something to do with the influx of lawsuits that came after, because required by state aid, by state law, they have to pay that to the school districts. We don't know when we are to expect that money, but it is promised to the district. It's promised by the governor, so we expect it. But we don't have any definite at this point.
I think that the question, if I could just elongate Ron's report by a few seconds, the question's a really good one, because should he make a decision that you are frozen at last year's aid, but doesn't replenish what he's withheld, there is the cut.
Yeah.
That is a cut,
yeah.
If you're following me on this. So he right now is keeping his cards close to the vest. The suit, as Ron mentioned, and this is the Onboard magazine,
right,
or newspaper article, and it's got several articles in there about this, multiple agencies, principals, superintendents, you name it, boards of education are all joining together across the state in a lawsuit saying you can't do this. Well, at first he was saying, sue me. Well, they are. and then it started to turn, the rhetoric started to turn to, well, I'll withhold some of it, but you'll get the rest of it, and I plan on giving you all of it. The plan on getting you all of it, I'm kind of forecasting for the board to know that if in the mix of all of the budget, all the money due to the districts, if his plan to make good on what he's withheld falls through, even though it may say zero aid change to Beacontown, it will be a net cut of that amount of money that we should have received, but he's chosen never to pay. So I may come back with that later when we are actually deep into the budget, just as a reminder to everyone that it might say zero in all the papers or 0.1 or whatever, but if he doesn't do anything with that aid, there's a cut. There's no way to classify it other than a cut. Thank you, Ron.
And that $500,000 roughly is about 70% of what last year during the budget season when they did this deficit reduction plan of $800,000. So it's almost up to that point of where they said they were going to cut last year. That's all I have to report.
Nice. Very good. Brett, are you ready?
Yeah.
No, you just gave us
some time.
Welcome. You have impeccable time.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Well, to start off, this part of the year, coming back from Christmas break, is definitely when the school year starts to fly by, because now each month we have either days off or a break, or in January we have an upcoming Regents Week, so all students are on Regents, they don't have to come in. So things definitely start to move quickly, and before you know it, the school year is over. But going back to before Christmas, our annual Christmas Fun Day went really well, and our 7th annual volleyball tournament raised $150 that went to Hannah's Hope. And the first annual badminton tournament raised $40, which went to Make-A-Wish, I believe, or some charity. The drama club's been working hard to prepare for their musical performance, Pippin, which I believe is coming up in either this month or next month. The Model UN Club and the Harvard UN Model UN team have been preparing for their upcoming debates. The Harvard UN debate is during Regents Week, and then the North Country Model UN is in March, and then the one that we hold at our school locally is, I believe, in February sometime. As I said, Regents Week is coming up, so any students taking Regents will be doing that. It's in 2 weeks. Tonight, I don't know if you guys saw the sign coming in, but seniors are able to come in for their parents to fill out their FAFSA forms for, like, federal aid for college and stuff like that. Sports teams are doing very well. Talking to a few people from each team. Bowling is undefeated. Volleyball, I believe, is undefeated. Hockey, we only have 2 losses. And actually, something interesting, we actually have 3 cross-country skiers this year that merged with the Saranac Lake, so they're doing well. Basketball, I was not able to figure out what their record is, but I know they have a game tonight. I'm pretty sure they're doing well. I think they have a winning record so far. And indoor track also has a few individuals, and their team is doing well. But other than that, everything's going really good. Coming back from break was, it was a good break, and I think everybody's ready to get back into things.
Thank you. Any questions? Next, we'll move to the minutes. Resolved that the Board of Education does hereby approve the minutes of the meeting of the Board of Education held on 12-8.
Motion.
Second. There's Richard. Leonard, thank you. Questions? Comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Opposed? Motion carries. Under B, resolved that the Board of Education does hereby accept the minutes of the committee meetings held on 12-8 for audit and 12-8 for operations.
Motion.
Second.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Pauline. Comments? Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Notes? Motion carries. Under new business, CSE recommendations. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education to approve the CSE recommendations stated 1-12-10.
Motion.
Second.
Thank you, Leonard. Thank you, Karen. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstain? Notes? Motion carries. Under B, personnel. Number 1, appointment. Appointments. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education to appoint the following civil service probationary as indicated.
I request executive session on this on 6B1A.
Could I get this on the floor?
Okay, please? Motion.
Okay, thank you, Richard. Thank you, Leonard. You have questions?
Yes, and I also have another one, would be 2B on the next page.
Under do these
things. They're unpaid leave, yes. So there's no sense going to executive session twice. So whenever you go, we'll.
Okay, I have a motion for executive session.
I'll make a motion.
Second. Thank you, Carol. This would be for reason to discuss the employment history of a particular person or persons. And all in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? No's? We will be leaving to go to the band room. So, it will be hopefully only 15 minutes or less, and we shall return. The schools recommend the Board of Education to appoint the following civil service probationary appointment as indicated. This is already on the floor.
Yeah.
I'm asking for all in favor?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
Abstains? No's? Motion carries. Under B, resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the following temporary on-call appointments being on the date indicated. I'm listed 2.
Second the list.
That was Frank. Richard? Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? No's? Motion carries. Under C, resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education approve the following substitute appointments beginning on the date indicated.
Move the list.
4 below. Thank you. Richard.
Second.
Thank you, Leonard. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? No's? Motion carries. Under D, resolve the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education the following permanent civil service appointment as indicated.
Motion.
Second.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Owen. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Notes? Our congratulations to Linda. She's here, but under E, resolve that the Board of Education approve the appointment of Jerry Ross as the alternate chairperson of the Subcommittee on Special Education of this district during the 2009-10 school year.
Motion.
Thank you, Linda.
Second.
Thank you, Richard. Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? Motion carries. Under F, resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to change the provisional civil service appointment of Daniel Noonan, superintendent of buildings and grounds, to that of a probationary civil service appointment to the superintendent of building and grounds. Is that a one?
One.
Okay. Due to the successful completion of the civil service examination, Daniel Noonan's probationary period will be from 1/13/10 to 7/12/20 at the salary of $52,000.
Actually, 7/12/10.
Oh, geez. We don't
have to make it all the way to the
20. Hey, we never thought of that.
We're really pausing for you.
Yes, it's 7/12/10 at a salary of $52,912.50 for the 2009-2010 school year for this 12-month motion.
Second.
Thank you, Leonard. Thank you.
Richard.
Was it Richard?
And congratulations.
Congratulations.
I didn't do that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, now you can clap.
We're done.
Jump again on that. Sorry, I apologize.
I did it.
And Dan, I hope you took that in good humor for that.
Just wanted to see if you were paying attention.
Oh, I was.
Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education change the appointment of Josh Howard, modified wrestling coach, of a salary of $2,432 from the board minutes of 10/13/09 to that of a volunteer wrestling coach with no salary for the 2009-10 school year.
Motion.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Leonard. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? Motion carries. Under two, unpaid leave. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education to accept the unpaid leave of absence from Bruce Musso as a building maintenance worker from 1/14/10 through 1/23/10 due to military orders.
Motion.
Second.
Richard and Karen. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? Motion carries. Under B, resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to accept the unpaid leave of absence from Linda Bushy as custodial worker from 1/07/10 to 2/07/10.
Motion.
Second.
Richard. Leonard. All in favor?
Aye.
I would like to vote no on this because of the procedural process of how this came about.
I would also like to vote no in the procedure process.
Motion carries. Under three, retirement. Resolved that the superintendent recommends to the Board of Education to accept the following intent to retire on the date indicated.
Motion for the list.
Second.
Thank you, Richard. Karen. Thank you, Karen. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? Motion carries. Tenure. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education to approve the tenure appointment on the date indicated.
I'll move it.
Thank you, Frank.
Second.
Thank you, Richard.
Congratulations to our Spanish teacher.
Yes. Are you going to vote yet?
No.
Oh. We tried that one.
All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes?
Congratulations in Spanish. No clue.
Someday. Yes, but yes. Thank you, Frank, for that. Send those congratulations along. 7. Miscellaneous. A. Resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education adopt the following 2010 through 2011 budget calendar.
Make a motion for that long, long thing.
Second.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Karen. Of course, there are only two minor little changes. For, you know, we dropped one of the meeting times. And that goes all the way through. But I do want to point out the voter registration. We're going to get up to.
Budget vote.
Hmm?
Budget vote.
And the budget. Yes, thank you. I knew there was something else here. I'm going to pick it up. We are going to continue to do that earlier and start earlier by an hour and during by an hour.
11 to 8 instead of 12 to 9.
Yes. That worked out very well last year. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? It carries. Depending on the state, how successful it will carry. Under B, result the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education approve the driver education curriculum for grades 11 and 12 dated January 2010 as submitted.
Motion.
Second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? Congratulations to Ken and Donna. Thank you very much for the work. Under 8, policies. Resolved that the Board of Education does hereby approve the following policies.
Approve the list.
Okay. Now, just for our new people, when we're approving the list, we're not. We may have
some callbacks.
Some callbacks and some information that's going in. It's not.
So we get to talk about it.
And sometimes, like now, there's one listed to approve that in your stack of documents you'll find isn't in there, and that's because it hasn't been worked on. So I want to point out before you vote on the list that the one you I'm respectfully requesting to pull off that list would be the charging school meals 8505.
I'll amend my motion to pull that.
Thank you.
Okay. So who made the motion?
Me. Richard. No one made a second yet.
I'll second. Okay.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, now we're open for a discussion on those. Maybe we should look at, is there any, and go down through, is there any questions on the first one, annual district elections and budget vote? So let me just mark off which ones we have questions on so that we can concentrate on those. Let me just go down the list to make it easier to. The equivalence in instructional staff materials. Anybody have any questions on that one? How about the intranet safety? Okay. Intranet safety regulation. That's the second part of that. Child abuse in the domestic setting. And the child abuse. Maltreatment or neglect in a domestic setting?
No.
Under purchasing?
I have a question on it.
Okay. Under, of course, the regulation goes with that. Recruiting and hiring?
You don't want to do the questions as we
No, I'm going to eliminate all the ones that we don't have questions and then work on the ones we do. Recruiting and hiring. That one's okay. Duties of the superintendent.
I have questions.
Okay. Medicare compliance policy. Under purchasing authority.
I believe that
goes with the under purchasing.
Yeah.
Okay, you have questions. All right. Planning. Pandemic planning. That's a fun one. and of course the attendance zone section. Okay, that's good. That narrows it down. Let's go back to the first one we had questions, which was purchasing.
Actually, I believe that my real question is on the purchasing authority.
Okay, none of, but I do think somebody else had a question.
No, well,
you were just
good.
Okay. Wow, that was easy.
What I want to know is this a new policy?
The purchasing authority?
Yeah.
The information, all of these policies for that matter, are first either recommended to us by NISBA to consider making board policy, or they come to the board in its review of its own policies, wanting to make a change, and we then send it to school boards to help us with it. Now, I believe in this one, this is the routine updates we get from the school boards. And I'm turning to Joanne on that one because she does so much more with policies than our representative in Albany. I want to be sure I've said that correctly. Would you agree, Joanne, that this one is the language changes came from School Boards Association?
Well, the Purchasing Authority, is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
That's a new policy. That's a new one, yes. Purchasing is just a new one. But the Purchasing Authority is new.
May I comment on that? That's because of a change in municipal law that now requires you to name your purchasing agent.
So annually at our annual meeting, you would be the purchasing agent and would name a secondary one if you were not able.
Correct,
to.
Which we already do.
Which we already do anyway. We never had a policy.
That's not in a policy.
This is what it says, a change in municipal
law. Well, it's not in the past, but we just never had a formal policy.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Any other questions on the authority or the purchasing and regulations? Which leaves us to the duties of the superintendent. First reading. And I'll have to be honest with you, I haven't had a chance to read that one very much at all. I've done a lot of the other ones. So.
Yeah, I need more time. I have a couple that I, you know,
I haven't had a chance.
It's hard to tell in here because it's in lawyerese. When it really addresses what I want or not, you know what I'm saying? It does, and you go, well, does it really? Because it doesn't really say that. My first one is this: is I believe that the duty of the superintendent should be that the school is in compliance with all union agreements, and I don't read that in here. I mean, it says something about it, but
are you asking if it's covered?
Yes, I don't think it is. I've read it several times, and I don't. They
Joe,
talk about a little bit.
Look at this one in addition. No.
Would you like it?
Under the personnel number 9.
With law, which is
no collective bargaining unit.
Yeah. So it does cover it.
Well, then I guess my question would be that. Several months ago, I brought up that we were in violation with a collective bargaining agreement, and it hasn't been changed, but it says on here, it's a duty. So I'm wondering if it's not written the right way. You know what I'm saying? If I'm reading a contract, and I remember what it was the...
Should this be done in an executive session?
Well, I mean, we can delay it anyway. But my point is, I don't. To me, it doesn't really cover it.
We're kind of treading on.
I mean, we can do it later date. Why don't we delay it?
It's because collective bargaining is covered in here as his duty.
Well, it's a policy we need to move forward. We can just say
it's
that
it's a first reading anyway.
It's a first reading.
Yep.
So it's got to come back to us anyways.
Yeah, but my point is, though, I mean, I want people to think about it and. Because when we do talk about it, how do you think it would read?
How it changes.
Maybe Joe have an opinion for the second.
Yes, for the second. I'll talk to Joe for my concerns, and then next time I'll talk to Joe.
Like I said, there's so much here that I don't know if we really have a.
Yeah, a lot of it.
We're going to send a copy down to you. Because with the questions that we have, and yes, Frank, you're very right. We're getting close to executive session materials. So. So we'll get those answered. And I would like to kind of just move this because there's a lot there, and I don't know how many people have a chance to really go over this.
I mean, I'll move everyone but that one until we get it cleared up.
It was the first reading, so you still move it.
It's the first reading.
Oh.
It's the first reading.
Okay.
We're adopting it as a policy. How it's going to shape up when we read the final is very different than this, I know.
We're doing everything but charging school meals. We're doing everything but the school meals.
Yeah. And
that's it?
That's it.
Can
yes, yep. We can. I take that, Frank, as a motion.
We already did.
We already did.
That's right. Yes. I forgot. It's getting late. We're all in favor?
Aye.
Abstains?
No. Page 5, we want to move forward.
Motion carries. Under financial, then. Resolved that the Board of Education accept the following reports as presented by the Audit Committee. And I'll do it for Steve.
Move the list.
Not here. Good job.
Also
second. Leonard. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? Motion carries. Under B, resolved that the Board of Education acknowledge the receipt of the warrant report for November.
Motion.
Second.
Thank you, Pauline. Thank you, Carrie. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? You both know on that. You're automatically on the committee.
Can't call for that one.
Just so you know. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education accept the following donations as approved, amended by the district budget, or amending the district budget to be increased in the amount of $2,374.
Motion.
Thank you, Karen.
Second.
Thank you, Richard. This is totaling $2,374. It's pretty nice. Thank you very much. Roll call.
Karen Armstrong?
Yes.
Frank Hay?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Sam Kurowski?
Yes.
Richard Levine?
Yes.
Ed Marin?
Yes.
Carol Ray?
Yes.
Pauline Stone?
Yes.
So that's moved. Thank you. Under B, resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to recognize Allison Brown on obtaining a mini grant from the North Country Teachers Resource Center in the amount of $750 for innovative projects for the classroom readers and approved amending the district budget in the amount of $750.
So move it.
Second.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Leonard. Roll call, please.
Karen Armstrong?
Yes.
Frank Hay?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Sam Kurowski?
Yes.
Richard Levine?
Yes.
Ed Marin?
Yes.
Carol Ray?
Yes.
Pauline Stone?
Yes.
And that
moves. And can you thank Allison Brown from the board?
Yes.
We'll do all that work.
We'll do a follow-up. Under E, resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education approve the following transfers over $5,000.
Move
the correction to cover those residential tuition that we talked about last December.
Make a motion. But I don't want to know how you figure it out.
Second.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Karen. Roll call, please.
Karen Armstrong?
Yes.
Frank Hay?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Sam Kurowski?
Yes.
Richard Levine?
Yes.
Ed Marin?
Yes.
Carol Ray?
Yes.
Pauline Stone?
Yes.
Resolved that the Board of Education does hereby authorize the following bands for buses at the lowest interest rate possible and at the maturity date indicated in two payments of 5 for $68,868.35. Thank you, Leonard.
Second.
Thank you, Richard. Roll call, please.
Karen Armstrong?
Yes.
Frank Hay?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Dan Kurowski?
Yes.
Richard Levine?
Yes.
Ed Marin?
Yes.
Carol Ray?
Yes.
Pauline Stone?
Yes.
Which brings us to additional items. We have a few listed, and we will also open that back up to the rest of the board and for others. And Leonard, operations committee.
I wasn't able to make it, so I will.
Superintendent's
going to.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's true. Mr. King couldn't be at the meeting, and Mr. Trombley, who was at the meeting, is not here for the board meeting.
So I'm here. I don't want to do it.
So and Richard was there. I guess to tell you briefly what was discussed was the where we stand with the XL project. And in your board packet, I put in a listing of the finances as we know them to be in terms of balances on Excel. I shared that also with the operations committee so they would have some talking points as to what to do. I'm sure the conversation will continue with that group and also eventually come to the full board with what, if anything, to do with the unspent balance on Excel and what are the opportunities to consider to spend it on. So that's what the discussion was about, bringing that information forward. And Dan, of course, provided his update on the not just the Excel project itself, what's being done, what's working well, what isn't going so well. And we discussed drawing some kind of picture at the end of the project of satisfactions, if you will, that we felt we experienced or any dissatisfactions that may have been experienced as with the various vendors and architects who participated in the project, to at least give the board a chance to have that knowledge as we approach some future project. So that was basically the meeting. I think I covered most
just one point. New information was anything that was not on that five-year plan cannot be on the Excel project now. So, you know, all the nice things we thought we could do with that money, we can't. So it had to have been on the original five-year plan. So they went over what they thought qualified, and that's what we're looking at now.
Was there anything left on that five-year plan?
Only thing like roofs and communications.
A couple of items, and we're going to get some more. Gary doesn't even know this, so I'm catching him off guard, but I'll sit with Gary probably tomorrow and say, let's look at our communications. If we haven't already addressed them, is that what the Excel plan had in mind with this chunk of money? We've done so many things and fixed so many things that I'm not sure the need is still there. But on the list, it's literally two, three items at most that of all the things on the list that could qualify to spend on Excel. There's only two or three items left.
Yep. So if we didn't use it, if we didn't upgrade the communications, we probably wouldn't be able to use it all.
So our whiteboards probably fell under the communications.
Yes.
Link.
Our whiteboards, Gary,
they're covered.
I would believe so, but I want to look into that further.
Which is why we have not.
Whiteboards were under the communications portion.
Right. They were initially. I thought you were asking, were they in our initial five-year plan?
Well, we have a lot of communications money in the five-year plan, believe me, like $3 million.
Well, we don't have certainty on. I don't have certainty. I'm sure Gary does, and tomorrow I will too. But I don't have certainty on how much of what is showing was set aside is truly even needed because we've done so much work since then. So I want to get a hard number.
And the other thing is we can only use it on someone head or here. It has to be students in the building. So that's the other student.
Yeah, other ways to spend it. What have problems with it?
What happens to the excess?
If we don't have anything to spend on, they keep it.
Who's they?
The state.
Well,
the state.
It has to qualify to spend it.
We want to do all we can to spend it because the authorization from the voters to use the Excel funding for this project is built on the premise that you're using Excel funds to this amount when they voted yes to support it. If there's money left over, it raises at least enough internal questions as to what will happen. Will there be some, is there some response that we need to pursue with respect to the original resolution? I don't know. Is the money just thanks for the money and use it anywhere you want? That I know you can't do. can the state say we want it back? Well, the voters approved it. So we don't, all these little, the simplest solution is spend it.
Yeah, but
spend what was already authorized.
The point being made is if we spend it on everything else we can and all it's left is communications, even though we might be where we thought we wanted to be, that's money you could use to go up to the next level because it's available. Because if you don't spend it, you don't get it. So I'm saying communications on the list itself doesn't say what exactly we're going to use it for, so it's open.
Right. If communicate use of hazard, Gary and I do this regularly, so he's used to it. So why go ahead for it. is the conversation we often have is what if, or what might be, or what could we do. And so it could be, we could be presenting to you a dollar amount that could, must be somehow used with communications, because that's the scope of the project. The question will be, at the time, we didn't know that's how we would want that to be spent under communications, but we've gotten creative with some ideas, and it's still excellable by doing this with that money, as long as it's communications.
If you will help me with my memory.
I'll try.
The items in the bus garage that need to be updated or repaired or whatever I should say,
yes,
is part of the five-year plan.
Correct.
And Red has reminded me a few times, but this escapes me. Why isn't work on the bus garage, even though we don't have pupils there? Why isn't that part of the process? We're transporting the students. The buses need to be repaired in that building. Do you
I can address that. Actually, some of the work could fall under what we call Excel eligibility, safety issues or certain upgrades. The problem that we're having is that because the voter proposition was for a certain project, and then the scope of work that was submitted to SED did not include anything to do with the bus garage.
Okay.
Because we have voter approval on a project and then SED approval on a scope of project, in order to use leftover funds for that same project, we have to stay within the scope of work that has been approved. And so that's when we went back to the drawing board of all the things that were in the scope of work that fell under Excel. How could we do additional projects that already fall under the scope of work that has been approved? Anything outside of that would have to go back out for reapproval, and that's where it becomes difficult, approval by SED as well as maybe voter approval.
I think it's important to remember that when we first went to bid for all this, you know, we went down a list of what that would cover, and for the initial bids, we only got so far, and the bus garage was farther down. Now they all came in lower on their bids, but we can't go down there now because it wasn't on the original.
In the original scope.
In the scope.
So that's why we got, I mean, we got, it's nice we have money left over, but we're limited to what we can do with it because we'd only gone so far down the list.
One of the things that I remember is our engineering outfit told us not to go too high because if we went too far overboard, at the time that we did it,
correct,
this is why we didn't go any further,
right,
than we,
it's
did,
true,
on that. So we were really not properly informed.
As it turns out, the respondents to the bids were much lower than we all were advised you need to think they're going to come in at. To that extent, I don't know if there's a guilty party to that. It's the market condition.
Well, yeah,
it dropped.
The market
it dropped.
Was kind of,
the
yeah,
first
screwed up at that
if
point.
If the reverse had happened, that
oil
would be a greater problem.
Yeah.
Obviously,
yeah.
This was a safe amount. Ask for this, and then the bids come way above. We have a significant problem.
It was an economic impact you couldn't foresee, because what happened was at the time that we first did it, that was the going bid. But then because there's so many people out of work, they lowered the bids to get the work. So that's why we have money left over. Not that we didn't think we went far enough down the list. The economics changed so drastically that they really wanted the work. So, I mean, we went down $800,000 just on a roof. Well, I mean, I wasn't going down another $800,000 down. That was the problem. And in the future, it's a good thing to remember. Why not go as far as we can down the list? And then if it covers, it covers. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But.
And Karen, on your good question, theoretically, I'm not necessarily proposing this, but I'm doing a wide hypothetical. Theoretically, if there was a way to spend communications money on the bus garage now, then that might very well be covered under Excel. But the bus garage was not identified as needing anything from Excel, so it's really out of the scope.
I'm fairly confident that you and the staff will provide us something that's needed.
Yes.
Something that,
yes,
meets the requirements so that we don't end up giving money back that
all the above
didn't cost the taxpayers money.
Exactly.
Thank
you. So, will there be a list of communication possibilities and connections?
That's what Gary and I will start working on tomorrow. It's okay. What's the status of our communications now? What was paid for by Excel? what would could still be paid for by Excel, but we didn't dream that big originally because we didn't want to push the luck on asking for more collectively. But now we can say, well, because communications is only halfway done or three quarters done, I can fill out the rest of that ticket because we've got money now we can use to. But Gary will give us that information.
Surprisingly, they're going to have to be very creative this spending. I think. Because,
a little bit of an odd situation.
Yes. It's not a hard communication.
No, I know, but, that's my point is with this money left over and the fix that we're in, we need to decide what level do you want to go to.
So that will be our effort, Karen, to drive that down.
Broad basis. You know.
Okay. Race to the top.
I gave you information in your packets. If you've had a chance to look through even some of it, you'll get the gist of what's occurring. There is a federal pot of gold that's been made available for all of the states, ostensibly all the states in the country, with significant dollars attached to it, you know, billions. And states, first of all, have been asked to compete through grant writing applications saying your state wishes to consider to get a portion of this money. There's some rating scale that's applied when all the applications come in. The federal government, Arne Duncan, State Education Department, will read all of these applications from the states. In this case, it would be Commissioner Siner's contribution for New York State. They will determine, you've got a gold star proposal here to meet these guidelines that, for which we'll give you new monies. If they do that, and New York State wins, quote, I believe it's, I want to say $650 million statewide. 50% of it, it is. 50% of it, by law, goes to New York State to do what it wants to do with it. 50% of it is divvied up among all the school districts that filled out the Memorandum of Understanding that said, if you get the money, we filled out our consent to be considered. The state gets the money. The state's going to then decide how much money Beacon Town can get. It's a long history to all this. The things to watch for is in signing off, and we did. I signed off. Board President signed off after we explained this in greater detail. And the Teachers Association President signed off. Those three signatures were like good extra points for one district's request to be considered for the money. But they add up all these things and come up with some point system to say New York first, and then within New York, which school district's in New York. Having said that, what is reasonably clear is the three major areas in which the state is trying to accomplish in getting federal dollars. They want, and they're very clear, they spell it out in the volumes of information I gave you. What is also clear is that in signing on to have our three names counted, as it were, among the thousands of names, we are saying to the state that if you give the state the money, we'll have 90 days as a district to decide if we want to do anything. In other words, take the money. We're not obligated by signing the memorandum that we're committed to it. We're committed to hope you get it. And then we'll get back to you in 90 days and tell you if we want it. Why would you turn back money, they ask. Here's the answer. Because when it's all divided up, the amount of money out of that huge number that I started with could trickle down to being as small as $100,000 total to be divided over 4 years. Or it could pick another number. It all depends on how many other districts did what we did, which was sign on the memorandum, and how much money there is to divvy up because of who didn't fill out the memorandums. And then we will know as a district, well, the state got its money. There's only you and one other district. I've been tearing everybody else's up with. No, I'm kidding. Don't say that.
You're on tape.
I joked with my colleague superintendent said, you know, you having trouble interpreting that form? Let me take a look at it. But anyway, when all of the totals are totaled, there'll be somebody, some official in state ed telling us, congratulations, you're going to be getting blank dollars. It's good for 4 years total. And now develop your 90-day plan to tell us what you're going to do with this money. And I'm leaving open to us the opportunity or the option to say, is the juice worth the squeeze? Because the things that are involved in what the federal government is giving the money for may or may not be comfortable for your appetites to follow up on. You know, you've had a chance to read those obligations any more than I have. So I want to be absolutely sure you know, that's why I put it here, you know that, yep, we signed it to be counted as a voice. We didn't want to be in a position where the legislators, so we meet with enough frequently enough to say this could happen, staring me in the eye and saying, thanks a lot, Beacon Town, we didn't get the grants because you didn't sign off on the memorandum. Didn't want that to happen. Didn't want them to happen to say, well, despite the fact you didn't sign off, we got the money, but now you're not going to get, you're going to use the money? Well, why am I fighting for it? Didn't want that to happen. So 90 days is our period of time to say, you determine if the state wins, the state will tell us how much we get, we'll sit with our team, go through, fine-tooth comb the requirements of what you have to do to take the money, and make a decision collectively, do you want that amount?
Because they could say you have to do something new with it.
Oh, there is new things to do. That's my point. And the question is, well, I don't know the impact of doing those new things. So thanks for $150,000. It only costs $190 to do it. And we don't know yet. We're nowhere near knowing yet. So that's my additional items on that topic.
Any other questions on that? I signed off for the board because it's grant money over a four-year period, and it doesn't lock us in, but it does leave the window open. The next item, night custodial supervision.
That's fine.
Yes.
I want to make a motion that we move the night custodial supervision person back to nights because we have unsupervised individuals on the night shift.
I want to put that on the floor for discussion. As a motion first.
Yes, sir.
I need a second to put that on the motion, or would you like to just discuss that openly?
We can discuss it, I mean, if you want it first.
Is there restrictions, contract restrictions on that, or are we able to move people like that around?
I mean, you can move people around if you want, but the point is...
I don't know if we can.
They already moved. They've already been moved.
Originally, he was on nighttime...
There were
hours in the position. There are hours listed in the position. The question, trying to follow your part of the question, Frank, is can the district, with its agreement with the members who drafted it, your original proposals, have side agreement that allows you to move the hours? Yeah, you can do that. The questions being raised by Mr. Levine is, in doing so, is the result satisfactory? And would you want to change that? I can tell you that at the time we made that possibility, in other words, move his hours back a little bit. We didn't reduce hours. We just moved the window for those work hours. It was done with reasons to benefit lots of people. By design. Don't know if it did to everybody's design, but it was intended to. One of the intentions was to create opportunity for more direct communication between the night supervisor and principals, who, when they have night events and other events to be set up, they have a chance to meet with them sooner, get the details worked out, and move on. That piece of it, I've asked principals to react to in preparation for tonight, and that part of the objective has been done very well. From that point, from their points of view, that part has been met very well. So the question, then the obvious questions become, maybe the issues are, well, what isn't going so well? And to that end, I don't know enough to know what isn't going so well. I can only tell you that the feedback I've gotten is that it's not this. So having said that, if the board so gets to a point where you want to, say, change those hours back, when we move the hours, with the sidebar, it was with the understanding that it's as good as A, when the contract gets renegotiated, or B, until it's not working. And everyone entered into that agreement with, yep, I'm good with that. So we're at a point with asking, as you are, the question, is there a need to change it? And I think that's why it's on the discussion topic.
as a way to go back to the other hours.
I can remember when the discussion or when the board was told that this was going to happen. I can remember from my experiences a concern because I questioned, but I didn't ask questions. Yeah. I just in my own mind questioned why we would take a supervisor of the staff that I'm assuming our nighttime custodian staff, custodial staff is larger than daytime. And from my past history, the superintendent of buildings and grounds met with the head custodian. There was an overlap there before the one left and the other gentleman came on. So I understand, I don't get all the feedback that other board members do, but so I just share with you that that did cross my mind when it happened.
Thank you.
Thanks for that.
Frank, did you get a response to your question?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
contractually,
actually, we're in compliance if we move them or not. Apparently, it was an agreement. And we can't put them back tonight.
We could move against their consent. This is another way of coming at this.
Right.
If it's initiated by the other parties, I don't. Side letters of agreement, and I try to limit them. I know there's perceptions on how many of those are right and not right. I am comfortable, obviously, sharing all of them that there are, because there aren't that many. But this one required, well, what can I do with your request? Well, is it to the advantage? What do you think it would be? Is it something we can undo if we don't find it to be effective? Yup. Well, let's try it. And that's how we approach doing it. Now, since then, that's where I'm a little, I must defer, obviously, to the information that you have or perceptions you have, because the only pieces of the perception I could ask for were than what I just shared with you, so that there didn't seem to be, there wasn't a perceived loss from the building's leader's point of view of the change of that person, of that position's hours, and there seemed to be some approved benefit that was intended originally if the hours were changed. I'm here to tell you there could be all kinds of other things that for which I'm not aware of. But
I have my only piece of this is I'm about to add words is just the liability of not having somebody on duty at those times. Is there a format that's being used for employees to contact somebody?
Yes. Yes.
And are we covered if there's something that happens that requires, can we get some big doo-doo because we don't have a supervisor?
Joe, I would ask Joe to weigh in on that one if you wouldn't mind, sir.
We certainly have liability insurance that would protect us in the event of negligence of any of our employees.
Okay.
So to answer your question, would there be, could we be sued? Possibly you could be sued if there was a determination that one of our supervisors or the lack thereof was negligence on the part of the district, then we might be liable for damages, but it would be my belief that such a suit would be defended by our insurance company, and should there be a judgment against the district, that would be paid for by our insurance company.
Which would raise our rates.
Well, sir.
Would negligence, for my own naivety joke, would negligence include, is that a willful, you know what I'm saying? A willful negligence versus an absence of someone to be negligent. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Negligence is a failure to maintain a certain standard of care. A willful act generally is not considered negligence. The person intentionally acted to create harm.
Well, thank you. That's getting closer to my question. If there's a supervisor on duty and something occurs that is responded to by, this was negligent, or the charge is it's negligent. There's a case where something that occurred is happening when somebody's there to supervise. My question is, does that change anything if there's no one there and the same thing happens?
I don't believe so. I think you have to look at the act that occurred. If there was a determination that had there been a supervisor, a nice supervisor, actually working during the evening hours, and that individual could have prevented
whatever
injury occurred, then there may be a finding that the school district is negligent because the school district had that person who was a supervisor working in the evening hours to supervise employees.
Richard? Perfect example. You've got eight janitors on at night. Now, they work different sections. I don't know if everybody knows who's on that night. There's a fire and seven people get out, we lose one. Now, where was the person who knew who was working here and should have evacuated? That's gone. To me, that's negligence. Because you're supposed to know who you got working, and we have fire drills, we have all kinds of drills that you have to make sure certain people get out of the building. Who knows who else is in the building if you're just eight different janitors? So, and my other question is this. Now, we've had for years and years and years, and I'm not saying that you can't change things because things have always been done one way, but we're paying a superintendent of building grounds on a day shift. We're paying a supervisor of maintenance with four employees, and there's only four janitors on the daytime. So there's three supervisors now, and there's 12 employees in this building at night with no supervision for 4 hours. There's no sense in that. The only other thing I could think of is if the board wanted to approve it, well, if he's not there, then someone else has to be in charge. Something has to be done. You can't have eight people independently working in a building by themselves, as far as I'm concerned. I don't understand why there's so much work that we have to have three supervisors on for eight people and nobody for 12. That's my point. And that's why I wanted to bring it up. I think unless management can come up with a fix saying, well, we're going to do something so there's somebody here, somebody's in charge, and this is how we're going to do it, then what we're doing now is basically negligent. Because we have, you know, these aren't the people that we're paying big bucks to be in charge. They're the low end of the scale. And what do they do in an emergency? They haven't been to all these classes and all these things on exit plans and response plans. And you put it on them, and what happens if they don't do it right? Then we got somebody hurt. And I don't think we should. That's all I guess.
So you're basically requesting that we have supervision?
Return, pending. Someone coming back and saying, okay, he's on night. This is our plan. This will cover all the problems. You know, in their future, how they're working out. But I know before it was discussed with Don Strong, and the reason it wasn't done was because there was no coverage. Because there was no one wanted to pay the money to pay somebody else to be in charge. Now, that issue would have to be resolved. But I have no trouble if the board so wishes to say, okay, one of these eight people is now in charge, and they're going to pay them some more money. If you're willing to pay the money, that's fine. But now, I don't want eight people scattered all over this building but no one knows what's going on.
I don't know if you need to have this in a formal motion.
I won't. I mean, if we can just take care of it. But I don't want to leave here with a status quo that we're not fixing.
Would straw poll
that would be fine by me.
Have at least the board's understanding of where everybody sits on this.
Would that be fine by me?
What is the question? The
question is, should we have a nighttime supervisor supervising nighttime for the full duty hours?
Have we ever?
Yeah, we just moved. And I can't remember when.
Is there any kind of a report that shows the pros and cons of the change? Who would do that?
Mr. Engel did mention that he did
ask,
you know, for information on whether or not it was an appropriate act. Richard's been pointing out some pieces that.
Okay, but the other part of it is this: if they can live without him for 4 hours, why do they need him for 8? I mean, why do they need him at all? If they can do whatever they do when they're fine for 4 hours, why are we paying someone to be in charge? Because if they're fine and dandy by themselves, then what do we need supervisors for?
That doesn't mean that someone isn't overseeing your performance.
No, nobody is. Nobody is.
Maybe not during that time, but the results.
Yeah, let's take a look. Yeah.
Your question as to whether or not there's been.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just addressing. Sorry. The Gazette had a question as to performance, or if there's been information. The only information that Mr. Abel has is what he developed himself, asking about, and he reported on. Is there something more that you were looking for in depth, you mean?
Well, for us to kind of vote on an opinion, how deep does that have to get? is it working or not? I mean,
this is a straw poll, which means the board is asking that it be changed back, and Richard's saying, you know, come up with a better coverage.
Here's an example. You have a principal on half on night, half on a day, and the teachers don't have anybody in charge of them for half a day. Would you put up with that? It's the same thing. Do we want anybody unsupervised ever?
But you're saying that just because you give someone the title, that they're any more supervised.
Well, if you give them the title and you pay them for it, yeah, they are, because that's part of their new job duty, but it isn't now. Well, you're a janitor now. That's what you do. You don't go around and check on people. That would be an additional duty.
Yeah, is that a safety protocol, or is that a supervisor duty?
Well, put it this way. We're spending about $2 million a year on supervision. Why do we have anybody who isn't?
The issue of supervision is there is a supervisor. The question is can you say that is a supervision act going on with different hours?
Right. Well,
that's right. Seems
that's
the center.
We're
making an assumption that we understand what supervising this position entails.
It is
our perception that we think we understand it, but we may not. So. One of them is to get feedback from the person who measures the performance of whether they think it's working or not.
Supervision doesn't change no matter what the subject is. Basic supervision is to ensure that an employee does his job efficiently, on time, and satisfactorily. It doesn't matter if you work at a nuclear reactor or you sweep a bucket.
Right, and it doesn't necessarily require presence.
But my point is, why are we paying for a presence at all? If these people can do this on their own, why am I paying anybody for supervising them? If they can go 4 hours a day with no one checking on them, why am I paying somebody to do it?
So is your issue associated with supervision as a whole, custodial or not?
If you had an employee, would you leave them unsupervised for half a day?
If the system creates a process for them to occur and still be measured, yes, you can do that. You do it over time. You do it in the military. You do it in business.
We need to.
Yeah.
We need to.
Okay.
We're kind of going off on the table.
I'll make a motion if we need to, because that's what.
That's your preference. I mean, if you want to put it in motion and get a second to have.
I'll do a straw poll. That's what everybody wants to do.
I think a straw poll is all that's really needed at this point to rectify what you feel is important and find out if the rest of the board is in that same focus or not. And
do you rephrase the question? Just to be sure.
I think it's moving the hours.
It's just all that's being asked is that the hours be moved back to the original hours before they were brought down. Is all that this is about.
And I'm not against the future an alternative coming up forward to the board.
Right. If there's some way of having some kind of coverage so that there is somebody in charge. That's it.
Well, one other question that I do have, if there was an advantage to him being on days, can't they kind of work it out, give him an extra hour on days and put the rest back on nights? I mean, they might be gone for an hour at night. I mean, if there's some kind of advantage working with the day people.
Well, Don Strong had to overlap just for that reason. He came a little bit later and stayed later, so he could. He could do that, but the hours now are different.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is if we're going to change them, is there something that could be better than what we've got? We'd have coverage on nights, but maybe only missing an hour of four.
That's what I'm saying. Bring something back that covers all those concerns. But right now, they're not covered.
Okay. So does everybody understand what I'm asking you in the question?
Are you saying changing back to the original or just making a change?
Change back to the original, and if there's a better way, bringing that forward to the board to to assure that we have coverage and that. So everybody understands that? Who wants to be picked up first?
I'll go first. All right. I kind of disagree with Richard. I think a supervisor can supervise without being present, just by looking at what's being done when he's not there. If there's a problem with what's not being done when he's not there, then he maybe on his own should occasionally go in and see what's happening. I mean, as a supervisor, you have that privilege to walk in unannounced at, say, 10 o'clock and see what the heck's going on with the staff. But apparently what's happening now is, and the building principals, my take on it, think it's working the way it's set up now. So I kind of like what Leonard suggested. Maybe instead of four and a four, maybe we could look at in the future doing a split, maybe a two, shortening that 4 hours to a two and a half, to 2 hours early, and maybe working 6 hours with the staff. So it'd be like a compromise. That's my take on it.
Because I'm aware of my experience where there are problems that develop when you have a full-time supervisor on with your staff. I'm in favor of the coverage being provided when you have the staff.
You should go back to the supervisor like the original was.
I think it needs to be changed back, but I am not against seeing a recommendation for something different.
I think I can make a decision until I get feedback from supervisor and principals.
Okay, you're abstaining.
I think they should go back to what they've done before.
Go back and come back with something else that covers the issues.
I just feel that contractually we have supervisor that is supposed to be working that shift, to me that it could also draw in possible problems for setting precedences on how we handle things. So contractually I'd have to say that he should be covering the hours that we have for some. So basically he feels that he should be covering the hours, but not against looking at something else to help with coverage just like that. So that's pretty much a
consensus. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Pupa personnel.
I just have a question. There was a motion on the floor from Richard, so it dies, but there's no second?
I withdrew it because we had a discussion.
Yeah, there was no second.
Okay.
Yeah, there was no second, so it never.
So we don't need a motion on this?
No, we don't need a motion on this.
Thank you.
Yep. Pupil personnel function.
That's me again.
Yep. How do you want to put this?
I will do this as a discussion also.
Thank you.
I know what's going on in the guidance office. Anybody who thinks I don't, they don't know me very well. I've been trying for 3 years, to fix a problem. I got two calls yesterday from parents that kids had to wait over 40 minutes to see a counselor again. And I was told this was all going to be taken care of, and I have no more patience for it. I want to create a pupil personnel director. I want it staffed from existing personnel. And I want the stuff fixed. Now, we're talking about bringing someone in. That's fine. We can bring someone in, they can tell them what needs to be fixed. But it ain't working, it's been broke a long time. I don't want to hear any more excuses on it. Period.
Do you have fun on that? And do you have something that, because you mentioned you were going to bring something forward to the board. Have you got something that...
I don't have an answer to two parents complaining about waiting.
No.
I didn't know
this,
that.
The second
but I have,
part.
The second part I do. I can tell you that I've had contact with the search to find, if it's the preference of the board to do so, somebody to study. That's what the topic has been for a while. And is ready to start work on conducting the study. There's no charge, which was not known at the time. They're doing it as a
gratis.
Plattsburgh State University partnership with the school district, because their counseling department just feels that's a good service on their part to do. So we have that possibility for that study. I can't predict the outcome of the study, nor can anybody here. I can only tell you that, yeah, the answer to the question is a study can be done, and those are the, I've just outlined that, yes, they're willing to do it.
So when do we start?
That person's waiting for me to call tomorrow to say, answer that very question. So, because we already have we've talked about since there's no charge, you start talking how to do it. I talked with the person about strategy of how to make contact with the counseling services department to begin to search out what you need. She sent the researcher, or the professor, if you will, sent me guidelines that the National Counselors Association recommends as checkpoints for me to at least know these are some of the things that she'll be talking to people about and learning about. It will involve interviews with the present people as well as others that she feels important to get their inputs on. So will that involve kids? I don't know. We didn't get into that finite in detail. But the point is that she's bringing a methodology to the task, not knowing the outcome of what will be revealed. And I told her this was not an effort to shape an outcome. It was to answer the question, are the services that are provided consistent with the guidelines provided by the National Counseling Services? If so, where were they? If not, where aren't they? And if there are any recommendations to make to narrow the distance, what would they be? So that's the task that she will bring to the assignment.
Okay, thank you for that. Richard, you want
to? I want to make it clear that I'm not against someone coming in. But anybody who tells me that there isn't a problem, they're crazy. I mean, I keep getting calls and keep telling them, oh yes, we're taking care of it. We're doing this. I'm told this is being done, but it isn't being done. How long do our kids have to suffer not being able to get information on scholarships or getting in to see a counselor? Because their schedules are booked up too. They miss a couple times. They don't go back anymore. They don't have time. Someone needs to be in charge of that office that's there every day. And I don't mean go out and pay $80,000 for somebody new. You can take an existing counselor and give them a stipend. Have somebody responsible for that office. So when something happens, you can say, okay, why did that happen? But every time I bring up a problem, well, I was told that isn't happening. I'm sick of that. Nobody's held accountable when things aren't done. And all I ever hear is, well, I didn't know that. Nobody told me that. Who talked to you? Well, you've had trouble with your daughter with counseling, and so did Steve. And the stuff keeps happening over and over and over. And we always talk about we want to go up, we want to do new things for the kids, but we can't fix the basics. Before we start talking about longer school days, shorter school days, we got to fix what's broken here. And I want to get to there. But if we can't fix this, we're never going to get there.
So how do we identify in concrete manner what is broke? Do we have parents writing letters of what the problems occurred were? It's only fixable if we have occurrences that we can start to improve on. But if we completely rely on hearsay without some sort of a methodized process to identify the problems, it'll just go wrong.
Here's the problem. You've got four counselors in an office and no one's in charge of. I mean, no one's in that office that's in charge of. They're all equal. Anywhere goes in there, who do you tell? You know, no one's, a lot of times people aren't specifically told to do that. How do you make a deadline with that? Who in that office determines what gets done when and how? And what's their priority? Every place else in this school has somebody in charge.
So who supervises their position?
Garth as a principal, but he's got another job across the school. He's a principal.
I have a question. We have a student here that's a senior. Brent?
Yeah, there you go, Brent.
Have you had any feedback from any of your seniors with the government office that's negative?
Yeah, I mean, I hear both good and bad. Some seniors complain about, because there's, like, for example, turning in applications or something, like if they give something to the guidance office for them to mail in, sometimes it's not mailed in right, or if they're supposed to be getting something from a college or check up with a college somehow, sometimes that's not done. But there's also some people have problems, some people don't, so I've heard, you know, both sides of it. Yeah, and some people, like, I guess it all depends on, like, each counselor kind of works differently, so I don't know, it's kind of a random topic, like, it's different from depending on which counselor you're speaking about, I guess.
I didn't want to put you on the spot, but I thought.
Yeah, no, I don't know what you mean.
That's why you're paid the big bucks.
Yeah, we would love to retire.
Karen, you had a question.
It would occur to me that Mr. Amel's information he's brought forward maybe is an answer. If we have someone evaluate our what we have and make recommendations, if they're, maybe they might come back, we need more counselors. You never know what they're going
don't
to say.
Know what the
we don't know right. The internal cause of what the issue is. So to me, the study is a good thing. And you have, Richard, brought this up for a long period of time. I think Mr. Amel is trying to respond to that piece of it. And I see your point.
We have six counselors now, though, right? Two and
seven.
Two, six or seven.
Four and three.
Four and three.
Yeah.
And
the high school,
the middle school's got three, and the high school's got four.
Because this,
I mean,
this
8 years ago, we had four counselors in the high school, covering the high school and the middle school.
Yeah.
I mean, they were doing both.
Yeah.
I assume they were probably still having problems dealing with the population hasn't changed that drastically.
Well,
so we've increased the counseling department by three in the past 6 years, I believe, six or seven years.
Yeah, but the study would help us identify
where
we could improve.
Where we're lacking.
Yeah, but my point is, though, that's true. But to me, the study doesn't preclude the position. We still need the position.
Well,
I welcome the study, but we got problems. And my point is, how do you solve them when there's no clear chain of command down to that point? Who do you blame?
The last calls that I've been receiving, the first thing I hear when it is, I tell them, would you please contact the supervisor, which I assume would be Garth. I don't know if they're doing that, but that's, you know, I always tell them, this is your protocol. If you've got a problem, then you, whether that's happening, and then, of course, I tell them that if you're not getting satisfaction there, then this is the next process. You know, and try to be a sounding block for them to let them take some of the steam off. Usually it's quite a steamy phone call that you get. But I don't know. Is there some way that can be? I mean, is there somewhere we can get the public to have some input somehow? I mean, is that happening? I don't know. Is that, Garth, do you get those?
I've had one phone call all school year about the length of time someone waited to talk to their student, to a counselor.
So we're not getting feedback. I mean,
I understand that, but my point is, it doesn't mean the people who are talking to me aren't telling me the truth. But all I ever hear is,
I also believe what they're telling me.
Here's my point. This is why I'm so frustrated.
Yeah.
I talk to people all the time, and a lot of people don't want their name given. And I promise them I won't, because they won't talk to you if you do. And this has been going on for years, and all I ever get from management is, I got one phone call. I don't care how many you got. I'm getting a lot of them. And my point is, when we had a pupil personnel director here, you ask anybody that was here, we didn't have those problems. We didn't talk about this. Everything was met. We met all of our deadlines. Everything was done. But now that we don't have someone there, it's not happening. It doesn't take too much to figure out what the problem is. We need someone in that position. And how many more years are we going to make our kids suffer for that? I'm just tired of it. It's excuses. Ad infinitum. That's all we get out of this. Let's study it more. Let's talk more. I'm tired of talking. I want some action. We're paying a lot of money for management here. I want the problem fixed. I don't want any more excuses.
So is the board ready to, okay, to bring in the evaluation? Is that what it is?
Yeah, yeah. I'm fine by that. I think it's a good idea.
And the topic of personnel. Not sure where the lawyer is at.
I'd like it in the budget for next year, not this year, but for next year, I like that position. Great.
So you're asking to have that position?
Yes.
Or,
create the position.
We should wait to see what the report does.
Yeah, we're waiting away from our but it's good to know that you're looking at.
Yeah, but this is what I don't understand. Every time someone says something, it's another reason. Well, let's not get them. Let's find out what's wrong. We know something's wrong. And if you can't sit there and tell me there ain't something wrong with the guidance office. Look at me and tell me there isn't. Thank you.
But the study will tell us what's wrong.
That's my point. But my point is, even when we get the study, we still need the personnel director. The people. So I'm saying, why? I understand what your people are saying. But don't think that we're going to sit here and get a report, and then we're not going to do it. Because the report will do us no good. Because we had nobody to implement it.
I think the report will be a start.
Right.
At least we're
doing
something.
Budget process.
Right. My point is, how much longer are we going to go before we do it? It's been 3 years. We're going to have almost a complete high school class going to have rotated out of here.
Okay. Any other pieces for that? Then I'm going to open the floor for public comment. You have another item for. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Slowly draw.
Okay. Last Thursday night we attended a school board meeting at Crickets, and some things jumped out to me, you know, and I wanted to just discuss it. We've got a unique area here, okay? We've got businesses that want to come into the area, okay? You've got the development, the area development. You've got Canadian businesses that want to come in. They're looking for workforces, okay? Workforces in order to come in, people trained, okay? You've got schools in the area that have students dropping out. They're not going to go to college. There's a lot of students in these schools that are not going to go to college because either they can't or they can't afford it, whatever, okay? That's another piece of the puzzle. Another one is you've got one workforce. It's a company, okay, that has money. They have expertise to work with these students and with the school districts, okay? We've got a superintendent here that's got innovative ideas, okay, that nobody really asked him about, okay? We could tap into his expertise, okay? We've got area school. I talked to the other school board members while we were there. They want to get down and talk. They would like to have meetings together with the school boards in the area. But everybody has to come together on this. I mean, you've got all these pieces going, but we need to get together on it. Okay, all I'm suggesting is that at a meeting, school board meeting, we take 20 minutes, a half hour, to discuss these innovations, these things that are coming down the pike, you know, at the school board, and even sponsor, Beavertown sponsor other school boards to come in and discuss ways of handling these new innovations. That's all I suggest is that we start doing discussions or at school, at meetings with the public, with
at a regular meeting.
At regular meetings, put it on the agenda for a half hour, 20-minute discussion.
For the discussions, but not bringing the other school board members in.
No, but eventually having, I mean, eventually okay. bringing them in, but for now, just start with us.
Say, my God, my three-hour time limit just went out.
No. I know, the school board meetings, there's so much that has to be discussed with it, but I mean, this is something that has to
okay.
be with
Karen,
the future.
You have?
I'll look to Mr. Engel mm-hmm. kind of for an answer. I thought that was the role of BOCES, and why aren't they working with Workforce One to make this happen?
They are.
They are.
I think what she's just using that as a topic of discussion. Mm-hmm. I think what she's asking for is just a roundtable discussion, 20-minute discussion of the board. You know, just open discussion in additional items to discuss about these specific topics.
Right. But what confused me was that evening.
Oh, that very
the
evening.
Presentation oh, because I'm
there,
thinking
sure.
BOCES. That's why well, schools send in their
that's
children
role.
To BOCES.
It's
more economical if we all pool together and educate our children there. So I felt something didn't come together
maybe
correctly.
Maybe a disconnect somewhere.
But that was just my opinion.
Yeah, I can see why you would. I can't answer. You know, BOCES has a role. There is clearly a role in BOCES. And I don't mean to be stepping on your toes at all, Pauline. If, having said that, if there's a fair number in the region of students who choose not to finish high school, then fundamental to the question of the phenomenon is what it is why are they not? And what that presentation was trying, in my opinion, that presentation was trying to say to the audience was that there are reasons about how we do what we do, and we're missing a population of kids because of how we do what we do. So that started the dialogue, which I mentioned in my update to you. I've ordered a book that doesn't, my opinion, I happened to be reading simultaneously before the book, that meeting was held, and I got so excited about the book because it sings a song, and I like the sound of it, mm-hmm. if you will, that I thought, how timely. That's why I've ordered one copy for each of you. And the 20-minute question, point, if I'm still okay with this, Pauline, is let's carve out time. When we're so busy doing stuff, carve out time to think about tomorrow mm-hmm. by looking at what we could plan for differently, think about differently, think about for the first time, because we got tons of people and researchers and kids dropping out who are telling us it's not getting it done quite the way it could.
And Pauline's probably right. Maybe it takes the boards coming together.
And that's why
and
that's what you got so excited about knowing you had other board members there. You want
yeah.
that's when you want
yeah,
to talk.
But you are right. BOCES are CB Tech, excuse me, not BOCES.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it is still BOCES.
No, not ours.
Yes.
They argue that and they're not. I'm telling you, they yell at me all the time. Like, we're not BOCES. Yes, they do that. I mean, they do work with one workforce, but basically what you're saying, CB Tech can be a help with, because yes, we can get together and talk about it here, but through them we can network with other schools who are interested to meet maybe a night on crickets or something that, and do it then. But you need to narrow down the subjects. I think, you know, if you meet here and this is what you want to talk about, and see what the other people want to talk about, and come to a certain number that you know, then you can network that. But I'm sure that Mr. King, through his staff, could get everybody together. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
No offense to CB Tech, right? But one of the concerns I have with this get-together is a lot of time spent in the blind reading the blind. And concurrent to your approach, one of the things that might be of value to us before we go to other boards is maybe looking at topics that have been addressed nationally of the education system and its future, talking about it internally.
And those 20 minutes, that's what
yeah.
I was trying to
yeah.
I think that's what Pauline is
yeah.
yeah.
Yeah,
that's
and
what I would
we
refer.
Could quickly sit around with a bunch of other people going, I don't know, you know, and so, but we've had discussions about, you know, new opportunities and things we have to address, and I think you're right, maybe sometimes spend
The one thing is, one school is one thing. You get a whole region pushing something. It's different. And I think that's what you're talking about. Yeah. If you get everybody on board and give it a little more push.
Yeah. We haven't done market research, for example, on why our kids drop out. And period. We just haven't done our own research on saying, why did you? We have instincts. We have stories that we know of because they share them. Or we have a story shared through teachers because they said those stories to teachers. But if we used our district as a simple example, we have no way right now of saying, is it a good, normal, or below average rate? All we're talking about these 20-minute kinds of ideas was to say, let's make that a topic some night, where, in fact, everyone gets a little bit of advanced information about dropout, use that one example, and start the dialogue together about how do we see this? Do we have a role in this? Do we have something we could consider doing differently because of this information? The book, I keep referring to it like it's some holy grail. I didn't mean that. But it's a beautiful way to start those kinds of conversations because the researcher did that. Researched hundreds and hundreds of schools, did thousands of interviews, collected lots of research, and he's making a story for anybody who wants to hear it. In the United States of America, your perceptions of the value, quote unquote, nothing personal to anybody in the room, but statements like colleges, there are fewer and fewer colleges that are accepting ACT and SAT scores as a significant reason to accept a child, because they have found over time the scores don't speak to who they got. Now, that's a powerful sentence. As we were working with Brad and others to say, well, do well on an ACT or an SAT, if in fact the colleges that he might be interested in as a student are in fact not caring about his score because they don't trust the score, not his, but depending the concept. On. So this is what is being spoken about nationally. It's just this one small slice of what this book, if you will, speaks to these issues about American education. It didn't say beacon down. I'm trying to make it personalized so we can find out for us what can we learn from this.
Well, have we looked at Foster State? I mean, I would find that if they're out of education college, they must have done research about the area. And if they haven't, I'd be pretty embarrassed about that. Education program like
well, and this is not a slam, because I don't know the details of this, but many around the room will remember the Plattsburgh State went through several years waiting to get reaccredited. It lost its accreditation.
Yeah, I don't know that.
My point being,
I know that they lost, but I don't know the value of their.
Right, and my only point is I can see why they wouldn't have a study during that period of time.
Yeah. I just have one quick thing. If we ever do this, is there also a book that tells you how much it's going to cost? Because not to dish you, but we're talking bad times coming now. And I say, well, I'd like to do this. Well, if this would cost me $6 million, I ain't doing it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's another subject.
That's different. We've got to move on because my time is shot. So I've done the public comment already. I'm not going back to that, but I do
make a motion to go to executive session.
Okay, thank you, Frank. But before,
personnel, right?
Yes, it's under to discuss the employment history of a particular person or persons.
Well, second.
Okay. Hang on, I need before we vote on this. We're in discussion. We've got to get the. Okay, that was. Richard, before I ask for a vote on that, I need someone to nominate a pro tem.
Yeah, a second.
Okay. And all in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? Okay, motion carries. Okay, now I will take the all in favor to move into executive session.
Aye.
Noes? Abstains? We take the floor.
Is there going to be action taken? Hmm?
There's no action taken after the executive session. We'll be sharing right after.